GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. Gee, our good friends, the Money Men are back on the radio. I ask you again, who is the fella with locations all up and down the coast of Maine known as JT Hicks and Company? And if you listen closely, you just might hear him say,
keep more, pay less.
And that would be Tom Hicks.
Welcome back, Tom. And who's that fellow from Bangor Savings Bank on loan where you just might hear he and others proudly say,
you matter more.
That's Paul Tormey, of course.
Guys, welcome back to GHRT. Let's talk about calculating the cost of restarting or reopening our businesses. And for this, once again, Paul, I brought back our 1954 calculator because it's time to get back to business. Tom, going to start with you. What do you see as some of the costs of restarting or reopening business that probably business people are thinking about this time of year?
Well, you know, the thing that strikes me the most about, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic was, of course, that our supply chain is broken. And, you know, for manufacturers to come back, to bring those people back into, you know, the plants, whatever it is, whatever fabricating or manufacturing is going to do is reconnecting that supply chain for all of us. And that means all the way down from retail for, you know, going to the grocery store for the things that we like and big box stores and, you know, online. If you were thinking about buying durable goods like a new washer or dryer, you were probably told sometime back it could take as much as 12 weeks before you could get, you know, a new appliance. So I'm thinking about what it's going to cost to reconnect the supply chain in our country.
Paul, it's not going to be the same for everybody, that's for sure. There's some way you can figure it out, but in other ways, it's kind of a mystery for some businesses. I'm not sure who's coming back and what kind of business they're going to get.
Well, first of all, welcome back, George, but you're right. And as much data as there is, there's no shortage of data around COVID-19. It's a data-driven event, right? Everybody's talking about data on all aspects. One of the areas where there has been less data has been, you know, what is going to happen next? What is going to, because, you know, it's forecasting, but you can find and survey what are people comfortable with and what are they not comfortable with. And when you talk about the cost of doing business, it's the cost of doing business the way people say they want to do business. And one of those things that there was a survey by McKinsey & Company, one of the biggest and most respected consulting firms in the world, about this very thing. And they looked at, you know, what's going to stick around and what isn't going to stick around. In other words, how has consumer behavior changed in a way that's going to be the same going forward? One of the biggest things has been the electronic or e-grocery shopping, either for delivery or to have somebody assemble your order so that when you go pick it up, they bring it out to your car. That's something consumers have loved. That's something they're going to want to keep doing. That's something businesses are going to have to tool up and gear up and staff up to do for people going forward if they haven't already.
Interesting point. Curbside service is not going away. It's terribly convenient. Those that don't get on board are possibly going to miss out. We're talking about some of the costs of restarting, reopening, rethinking business as we come to the light at the end of a pandemic tunnel. Tom Hicks, Money Man, what else is on your list?
Well, you know, one of the things that we learned to do during this pandemic was get healthcare virtually. And this study that Paul mentions, the number two item there is, you know, virtual healthcare. And I have to admit, I had several opportunities to have, you know, virtual healthcare with my healthcare provider and found it to be very convenient. I didn't, for those instances where you didn't need to be, you know, in the office to get your blood pressure taken or your weight or whatever it is, that this was a really convenient thing. And I think, according to this study, that we're going to see that stick around for a while. And I'm going to be enjoying that, I think.
I'm wondering if we've learned a little bit during this, Paul, that maybe it makes a little more sense to put all of the resources that they have available now into not expanding so much as to improving what you've got.
I think you're right. And you think about, as Tom just said, in terms of delivery, you know, healthcare is a great example. Long before the pandemic, I would dread going to the doctor just because I'd have to be in that waiting room, and I'd be looking down at that armrest in the waiting room saying, do I want to touch that armrest or not? And I'm not a germaphobe or anything, but, you know, if I can solve a low-level problem health-wise, God forbid that I should have any problem, but if I have to address a problem that's not so serious, I need someone actually, you know, touching me, then I could do that virtually. So, George, I think you're right. It's not about giving different things as much as about finding new ways to deliver them. And, you know, another thing that this survey we've been talking about found that probably stick around, that people who supply these sorts of things might want to capitalize on, is this concept of home nesting. Now, we've gone from spending almost no time at home, except on weekends, to spending all our time at home, or at least a lot of us have. And that's made us, unsurprisingly, focus on these environments. And I can speak personally. We've done quite a few projects inside and out over the last year to make our home more comfortable and better looking, and it's certainly staying cleaner. So this concept of, you know, paying more attention to your home environment, I think, is going to stick around.
Our friend from Ardea, Chris, sends a note to us. I think he's also a friend of yours, Tom. Text message to us in the MTG text line, 601-207-GHRT, 601-207-4478. I'm going to drill down to one thing that he shares and paraphrase. People aren't coming back to work just yet, and it's really difficult for businesses trying to find employees. We learned that, and here's your example for it. Tom, coming to you in a second. The Subway in Presque Isle, closed. The Subway sandwich shop in Presque Isle closed because their employees said they were making more money staying home than they would coming back to work. Tom, is anywhere on your radar about the cost of restarting, reopening business, what's going to have to be done to draw people back to the office, back to the site?
You know, that's a really tough one to answer. I think, you know, many of us have found that we can work from home and that the delivery of our product or service is just as good or better than it was when we were in, you know, a bricks and mortar, you know, kind of location. So I think there might have to be some incentives, you know, to come back to work from employers. Maybe it's a more flexible work schedule. Maybe it's, you know, having the opportunity to work from home, you know, part of their time, and maybe be in the bricks and mortar part of the time. But I think employers are going to have to get creative with whatever that perk or that incentive is, you know, that brings, you know, people back to the workplace. You know, quite frankly, I think to the extent you could reduce your bricks and mortar footprint, if you will, by having those people that can work remotely do work remotely. But I'm finding that there's a social aspect to this as well, that, you know, after a while, working remotely is okay, but you sort of miss that connection with your coworkers.
That's funny. Paul, I was talking to someone yesterday. The restaurant business got clobbered, of course, during COVID, and now it's beginning to open up again to the degree that we didn't have before. But they can't find anybody to work. It is, they just can't seem to get enough people through the door volunteering to go back to work.
Who was a Fiddlehead this week?
Fiddlehead.
Fiddlehead saw the post that they're delaying opening because they got to find, it's interesting what they said, they need to find caliber staff.
Well, that's another part of getting people that they really want.
Yeah, they can do the job. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I mean, the staffing shortage, the staffing difficulties, were around before the pandemic. We talked to clients all the time who said, geez, we cannot, I mean, unemployment was low. We can't find people to fill all the jobs we have. So that was a problem beforehand. Then comes the pandemic. If you'll remember, we invented this bonus to the, if you will, to the unemployment compensation for the very reason that we didn't want people, because of the pandemic that we didn't know anything about at the time or know much about, we didn't want people out and about looking for work. So we gave them a little extra. That was meant to be temporary. It's not as large as it was, but it's still around. I refer anybody to Tom Wolfe's book, Mau Mauing the Flag Catchers, for an instructive lesson on the difficulty in removing a program once it's in place. But I think some of these benefits will have to phase out before, as you mentioned, the guy who says, well, my people say they're making more staying home than working. That's a function of this benefit that will need to be phased out so that it's no longer more lucrative for certain people to to not work than to work.
Man, a load of text messages coming in as we parked here with the Money Men. This person writes to us, we shouldn't be paying people more to stay home. This person says to us, maybe an incentive is starving. Maybe that'll get them back to work. Tom, what else makes your list of things that businesses are thinking about or, hey, they should be thinking about as we're reaching the end of the pandemic tunnel? We're seeing some light and it's time to restart and reopen business.
Well, I think, removing some of the impediments that that employees may have objections to. And, you know, I refer back to, you know, Paul's comment. We saw this quite a lot with a lot of our clients that they were ready to reopen, you know, a doctor's office, a dentist's office, whatever. They were ready to reopen and employees could see, they could see that the cheese was not in the trap. And they said, you know what, we're not comfortable coming back to work yet. And the subliminal message was that we're making more money doing this, doing nothing, than we are coming back to work. So I think, as Paul says, I think some of these programs have to be phased out, and you're going to have to, you know, take away the cheese, and, you know, the mice will go away. They'll go find other sources, and I think that's, you know, that's important here, that it was here for a short while, it was here to support and help, but soon it's going to be time to go back to work, and we're going to have to phase that out so that we all go back to work.
Some owners of businesses found out they perhaps didn't need all the people they had in the first place. Is that going to be a tough thing?
I think, George, that, automation and delivering things virtually, I mean, there is something to that, but by and large, employers want employees, and I think if they could get their hands on as many people as they could, they would take them. People generally do want to work, and employers want them to work, and we still have a ways to go until we have filled up the tanks with employees at these companies.
A couple of people who work in trades have said to us they're expecting a return to what they do. One person writes to us, and they apparently clean furnaces, and things are going to be different when they return. They expect more of this distancing to be something that will still exist. We've talked a lot about maybe in an office sense, but what of those who are hands-on? Trade, Tom Hicks, any thoughts, any insight?
Well, you know, turning wrenches, requires, you know, hands and bodies on location. So, you know, I think, again, my earlier comment, I think employers are going to have to remove impediments and overcome some of these challenges that are making maybe employees feel uncomfortable about the work environment. And, you know, if you're a plumber, electrician, or any of the trades, you're probably going around from location to location all day long doing, doing your trade. And yet the one thing that you can't control is what is the environment that you're going to be going into. Is it crowded? Is there, people around to be able to consult with? Am I going to be there by myself? What kind of tools can I have that would protect me from other people? And so I think employers, are going to have to become creative, and they're going to have to find ways to remove those impediments or those objections of employees coming back to work.
Well, we would all like to be back to where we were, and some of us never left that point. Some of us have to get back. It's kind of a mixed bag.
We're seeing things loosen up. You know, the governor has loosened some things up, and just the amount of loosening that's happened here has been so nice to see. You know, our health club now is opened up at 50% capacity, which allows people to not have to stand outside when it's cold because they've reached capacity. We've seen restaurants have more people in them. So we're definitely headed in the right direction. That's definitely positive, and we'll get there.
We got a little extra time for taxes, Tom, and I hope by fall that we're all back to work.
Well, I certainly hope so, too. You know, I'd like to see a return to normalcy, but I think that's a definition that nobody can yet, define what will normal look like when we reopen. And so I think we're all going to have to be waiting and wondering and hoping for the best.
Tom Hicks, that number-crunching, huggable, lovable bean counter from JT Hicks & Company. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be here.
And Paul Tormey, who volunteers for a lot of things I see this week. Thank you for being with us.
Okay, George, we'll see you.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.